Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, President Trump signed an executive order yesterday. It's one that targets North Korea's trading partners. The president called it a powerful new tool aimed at isolating and denuclearizing the North Korean regime. Of course, the president announced the order when he met with South Korean President Moon and Japanese Prime Minister Abe at the UN in New York. The order, friends, specifically targets individuals and companies who do business with Pyongyang. Specifically, he said, when I say he, I'm talking about the president, he said it enhances the Treasury Department's ability to target those conducting significant trade with the regime, and it includes the sanctioning of foreign banks. Now, all of this comes on the heels of President Trump's scorching speech on Tuesday at the United Nations General Assembly, and has evidently forced China to decide to cut off trade with Kim Jong-un. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said, and I'm quoting, "For too long, North Korea has evaded sanctions and used the international financial system to facilitate funding for its weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missile programs. No bank in any country should be used to facilitate Kim Jong-un's destructive behavior," end quote. And with that, friends, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. Of course, I'm Dave Kistler, and I'm joined today by Sam Rohrer and Gary Dahl. As well, in segment two, we're going to have as our guest a dear friend and ministry partner of mine. His name is Keith Davidson. He is not a stranger to this program. He's been on before. We're going to be discussing with him the importance and impact of one solitary book on the world. You're not going to want to miss that. But for this segment, I want to explore a little further the president's executive action yesterday. Sam, I know you're on a remote location today, having just completed a very important meeting. And if you want to share any of that, please feel free to do so. But on Tuesday, President Trump delivered what has been called and is being called by a number of people, especially UN Ambassador John Bolton, the greatest speech ever delivered at the United Nations. And in that speech, President called on China to engage in stopping North Korea's nuclear ambitions. And then yesterday, he signed this executive action, with the result being that China's central bank has now told banks to cease doing business with North Korea. Now, that is exactly what the president wanted as far as a response from China. But I'd love to get your take on how the president accomplished this and what is in this executive order that has been the motivation to so significantly move China to engage.
Well, Dave, I'm going to have an answer this way. Before I answer this important question, a quick update. I just did leave a personal session with Attorney General Session, interesting, and several other faith leaders here in Pennsylvania. And I won't go into all the details, but he wanted to hear what the faith community was thinking and saying, and we covered a range of issues. And he also wanted to relate his own personal commitment, and he used these words, to absolute truth and God's word. Now, I think that's extraordinarily significant, because we're going to talk about it in this program with Keith Davidson. But he made it clear, and within that context, gentlemen, all the more reason to pray for our attorney general, who knows why he's there, who understands the matter of law, who understands the matter of justice and what government is all about, which is what something we covered in the program yesterday, Dave. But he gets it, and I'll just leave it at there. We'll talk more about that on Monday. Now, in regard to your question there, I think it's very interesting what's happening, because we've talked about it before. There's a major chess game going on around the world in geopolitics. The United States and China have been sparring. They have been sparring in relationship to military, sparring in relationship to North Korea, and really sparring in relationship to banking. Now, people need to understand, China is trying their best and have been working for a long time to displace the role of the United States in its relationship to the dollar. Right now, the United States have the nations of the world in a box, more or less, and what the president used was that leverage in saying, we will go after any nation that does banking with North Korea, because at this point, the United States can do that. This was a chess move. I think it was significant that, in fact, after China said a couple of weeks ago, if we would make a military move against North Korea, they would come in militarily on the side of North Korea. Here, the president pulled another move of strength with the dollar, and China backed down. I say this is an ongoing chess game. Watch it carefully, but this was a good move by the president.
Gary, let me go to you, because once again, our president has exerted his will on another nation, in essence, forcing them to comply with his ideals. And I want to ask you, Gary, what do you think this says, number one, about our president's leadership in general? And then more specifically, what about his ability to, I'm going to use the term, quote unquote, motivate other nations, for example, Mexico, to pay for the border wall?
Well, he's the one who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. And if anybody has not read it, I would encourage you to go get it and read it, because I think that what we are going to see over the next 4, maybe 8 years, as we look back upon it, how many times President Trump will indeed be able to make a deal that no others have been able to make. I mean, take a look at this situation right now with North Korea. We've been working with North Korea for how many presidencies? And, of course, you can certainly go back to George H.W. Bush, Clinton, Bush II, Obama, and nothing hardly has been accomplished. But right now, with what Donald Trump is doing, things are beginning to come together. His leadership is solid. I think he knows how to get a deal made. And, you know, as it relates to building that wall in our southern border, I think we're going to see that come together as well as he worked with Mexico. Who knows what that deal is going to be, but I think we'll see the wall.
Well, I agree with Sam. I think it was an absolutely brilliant move, not a military move, but a monetary move that exerted great influence on China. Sam, let me go to you, and I know we have just about a minute and a half before we have to go into the break, but we have heard in recent days, even from our dear friend Michelle Bachmann, who was on the program earlier this week, and she expressed concern, and we've had concerns about who is advising President Trump. Yet with this speech on Tuesday at the UN, and then the action yesterday with respect to exerting pressure on China and dealing with North Korea, it would appear that the president is doing all the right things, perhaps getting great advice with respect to this. Are you encouraged by what you're seeing this week in the president's life and the decisions he's making, that maybe he's listening to great advice now?
Dave, I think what the president is doing, I think he's taking advice, as we have said. He has advice that says globalism is the way to go. And he's having advice is saying, no, keep an eye on Israel and biblical aspects, national sovereignty, as that goes forward. I think what we saw at the UN, and perhaps here, may not necessarily be the result of counsel that he's been given, as much as perhaps some independent action by the president, despite some of the advice he's being given.
So what you're saying, Sam, is you think this is coming out of his own heart, not necessarily advice.
I think the UN speech was out of his heart, not what some of his advisors told him to say.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that speech came from a passionate heart who understands U.S. sovereignty, America first, all of those things on which he campaigned so clearly leading up to his election. Well, friends, a lot more we could say about this, but when we come back, we're going to invite our friend Keith Davidson to join us as we discuss the solitary book that has more than any other impacted the world. Don't miss that discussion.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, on yesterday's Stand in the Gap Today program, we discussed in great detail the origin and importance of law. We stated unequivocally that law in the United States is inexplicably linked to the Bible, God's word. To negate or to minimize the role of the Bible, God's law, in our nation and on our nation will not bring that which many claim it will, which is greater liberty, but instead, the rejection of God's law brings greater bondage. Well, having said that, I want to launch into a discussion of the solitary book that has influenced the United States more than any other. And to help us discuss that, I want to welcome to the program today a dear friend of mine, president of Seedline International, which is a ministry that specializes in that one book alone. And that is my friend Keith Davidson. Keith, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. It's a delight to have you aboard.
Yes, sir. It's great to be here. I sure appreciate it. Brother Gary and Sam and you with Stand in the Gap Radio, they do a tremendous service to the country and to the believers.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for your kind words. I want just to have you do this right out of the chute here. We've had you on before, but it's been a little bit of time since we've had you on. Talk a little bit, if you would, and just very quickly tell us what Seedline International is and what Seedline International does.
Yes, sir. Seedline International, we are providing the scripture, the Bible, to the world, basically. We have a global impact. We provide John and Romans. The book of John tells them who Christ is. Romans tells them how to live. We supply New Testaments and then whole Bibles to many folks around the world. It's pretty awesome what the Lord's allowing us to do. We give them away free. And, of course, there's some projects here in the States that folks help on, but most of them are given away free, especially the missions projects. And so we have a group of churches and folks that come together. We do the assembly work. Then we do the transportation and shipping and all those involved. We don't actually have a press, but we're utilizing those that are around the country. That allows us to actually do more with less overhead. So it's an awesome thing to just see the Word of God go out and change lives.
Well, Keith, I tell you, we're glad to, again, have you on. Glad for your focus of ministry. Our focus in APN is on the Word of God and on the pulpit and, you know, taking that truth into the public square. Yours is even more finely focused there. You have conferences, I know.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure. I haven't been to one. I'm going to have to try to get to one sometime. But you just concluded your annual conference, I believe. Tell us how it went. How did that go? How many people came? What did it accomplish in the lives of people? If you could share some of that, that'd be great.
Sure. Yes, sir. We have a conference every year. Its sole purpose is to do two things. One is to revive all the workers and folks involved. And secondly, then we explain and discuss the projects that's either in the past or coming up. And so it's pretty neat. You have an open invitation, by the way. You're welcome anytime. We do that usually in September.
I appreciate that.
And, but this time, as always, hearts are revived. You know, serving the Lord and working sometimes gets kind of a heavy load to carry. We have a lot of volunteer helps. We have several churches in the area represented. We probably have 25 or 30 churches that come together to assemble the Word of God. And the neat thing is that they come together also to during this conference and hear the Word of God preached and hear from missionaries, and their hearts are challenged, and hopefully a revival experience as well. But most of them who come are believers, and we remind them the importance of sharing the gospel, getting the Word of God out. This year we were on live radio for the second time. That was a pretty awesome event. That restricts your time a little bit, as you guys well know when you're talking. But one of the things that came out of this, we had God had burdened my heart about Korea with all the things that are going on. We finally got some confirmation on that, not just from the Lord, but things falling in place. We've had things in South Korea has fallen in place. We have a national pastor who has agreed to take the scripture. He has a place to store it. We have folks on this side. The translation work's been done. We have a ministry that prints. They're willing to print. Actually, they're printing in about 2 weeks from now. We gave them the go-ahead. We're going to put in 300,000 John and Romans into South Korea. Of course, they'll make their way into China and also into North Korea as well. So it's an awesome thing. And this all takes place a lot of times around the conference when that goes on. Brother Kessler was there. Brother Dave preached for us this time, did an excellent job in challenging our hearts. But we sure enjoy around the Word of God. And actually in the warehouse where we had our meeting this time, we had the Word of God on the right and on the left and in the back. And just having the Word of God all around you, it's amazing to see that take place. But getting it out is probably one of the most important things to me and to the folks who are here. They have a burden to see other folks who've never had the Word of God to have a copy in their hands.
Keith, it's a delight to have you with us again on Stand in the Gap today, and I want to thank you very, very much for your ministry there at Seedline. And there's no doubt about it, but over the years that you've been there, you have been able to watch God do some miraculous things. And I'm wondering if you might be able to share briefly with our audience today some of the things God has done through you or through ways that you know about to get his word to people groups all around the world. I mean, there's some miraculous things going on these days, are there not?
Yes, sir. Amen. And I might say our Korean project came about from the luncheon I attended that you folks sponsored in D.C. God just burdened my heart from that. So it's it always comes about. So it's awesome how the Lord works. A couple things I'll share with you. I had a missionary this week, Pastor Gary Swear, who has hands across the border. He is one of our transporters. He's now doing that full time. He made a trip down into Mexico hauling some Bibles, and one of the location he was going, he tried to make the contact with the pastor, and the pastor said, well, I don't need those. I can't use those Bibles. And so he didn't know what he was going to do, so he wound up in a Christian bookstore in Mexico. You don't see that very often. And asked the lady in there if she would like some. She said, wait just a moment. So she called her pastor, and Brother Gary got on the phone. They talked. And he'd been praying for some Bibles to take into a prison that he was going into the next day. So he said he would take all of them, and he did. And then they went to that prison. Four of them went inside, began to preach. People from his church surrounded the prison and prayed while they were preaching. And over 40 folks came to know the Lord because of that. So those are something that God does. You never know what's going to take place as we move through those things out.
You know, gentlemen, one of the things that I have never seen an exception to, when it comes to the Word of God, God always makes a way to get His Word to people. And we could testify on this program for the duration of it. We're not going to do this, but we could, if called upon to do so, about the miraculous that God has done. Keith, I want to ask you this question. There are a number of gurus, spiritual gurus, I'm going to call them, and even younger pastors around the country who claim that what we believe about this solitary book, the Bible, that we believe it's God's inspired, inerrant, infallible word. They claim that the emphasis we place on the Bible is actually a form of idolatry. In other words, that we're worshiping the Bible itself when we should be worshiping Jesus. I want to ask you this question. Is a high view of the Scriptures in any way a form of idolatry?
No, sir, I don't think so. Of course, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we were talking about Jesus Christ himself. And so I don't, to me, if you reject the Word, you're rejecting Christ. And a good illustration, I think, for that, for me, when my son was in Afghanistan, he spent two tours over there, we would send him letters. And even though those were words and were letters, he looked at that as home or from his parents and vice versa. When he sent a letter back from us, I wasn't concerned about the words, but the message in the words was from him, and so that really helped us make that connection. So I think the Word of God allows us to connect to God, and I think the Word of God is alive and well, and I think the Bible is intertwined with a crimson thread all the way through, which is just something that, I don't know, touches my heart. Guys that pull away from that, most of the time you'll find them, I think, self-centered and more motivated about themselves than about God himself. And of course, in Psalm 138, he talks about that he magnifies his word above his name. And so we know what he feels about it. And I think for us to do any less would be wrong.
Well, you know, the scripture, Keith, is filled, especially in the book of Revelation, of praise to God for who he is, the praise of his name. The book of Psalms is replete with examples of that. Gary, I want you to comment on this because you're a pastor and have been for many years now, and I know we say that a lot, but you have, Gary. And there is absolutely no idolatry involved in magnifying God's word, which, as Keith just said from that Psalm 138 passage, which God has magnified above his very name. So that cannot be idolatry.
Well, that's absolutely true from this guy who's been a pastor for many, 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 many decades. No, certainly that's not idolatry. And, you know, when you take into consideration what the Word of God does, it draws attention to God himself. And so when we distribute the Word of God, the reason why we do it is so that people will come to faith in Christ. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then, of course, you know, once people come to Christ through hearing the Word of God, they grow in Christ. We are told to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by desiring the Word of God, even as a babe would desire its mother's milk. And so the fact of the matter is, having a high regard for Scripture is not idolatry, but it enables us to have a higher recognition of who God is, what God expects, how God operates, so that we can worship Him effectively and in truth.
Well, Gary, I was hoping you would go there, and like you do so many times, you read my mail, and you went to the very passages that would be the ones that I would go to, because the Word of God is the way we know about who God is. I mean, it is. It is the pathway that we trek down to find out about who God is, who His Son Jesus is, what Jesus came to do, what God wants to do in our life. And to call holding a high view of the Word of God a form of idolatry is, I'm just going to say it, just ridiculous. God places a great emphasis on His Word, and we should as well. Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to talk about how this one book, the Bible, has undeniably and unequivocally shaped our nation. Some deny that, but friends, when we get done, we're going to arm you with an arsenal of truth that you can use with family members, neighbors, friends, co-workers to help them understand how the Bible has impacted our nation, the United States of America. Don't miss this discussion after the timeout.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. That statement has been attributed to our first president, George Washington. And friends, while that precise quotation is not found in Washington's writings, his writings do reveal that he believed that. So to say that it is a quote from Washington may not be 100% accurate. To say that he believed this would not be in any way inaccurate. In 1795, Washington proclaimed a National Day of Thanksgiving, and in that proclamation, I want you to listen to what he said, and I'm quoting, "It is impossible to reason without arriving at a supreme being. Religion is as necessary to reason as reason is to religion. The one cannot exist without the other. A reasoning being would lose his reason in attempting to account for the great phenomena of nature had he not a supreme being to refer to." Now, having said that, Sam, I want to go to you. And of course, our listeners don't have the benefit of knowing our conversations during the break, but we were having a conversation, and you brought up an excellent point about the way Jewish rabbis treated the Word of God and the high view they held with respect to the Word of God. And we're talking about that solitary book that has influenced our country more than any other, the Bible, and the fact that holding a high view of the Scriptures is in no way idolatry. Sam, comment on that, the Jewish rabbinical tradition and the view they held of the Scriptures.
Well, Dave, the thing that stood out to me was that when you're talking about those today are saying you can place too much emphasis, as you were saying, on the Word of God because that becomes idolatry. The very book that talks about idolatry is God Himself and the Bible. And it's odd that anyone would say that you could take that book, the revelation of God, where we know about who He is, His plan of redemption, and say that that revelation, literally the words of God Himself as breathed through the writers, and say that that was inappropriate to hold in high regard. The rabbis of old, when they translated the Old Testament, held it in such revere that they would wash themselves, wash their hands, change their clothes, and every time that they would come putting it into other manuscripts and other forms, when they came to the Word of God as breathed by God in reference to God, they would stop and they would wash themselves and take deliberate time before they would continue on in the text. And you can just imagine how many times that had to happen, because the Word of God, God's name, is all throughout the Old Testament. Dave, we cannot place too high an emphasis on God's word because he places high emphasis on his word.
Well said, Sam. And before I go to Gary, I want to ask you one other question. It was not just George Washington who obviously believed that the Bible should be held in high regard and believed that it should have and did have an appropriate impact on our country. There were others of our founders who believed the same thing. You're from the state of Pennsylvania. William Penn was a man who obviously and overtly believed the Bible played a role in the founding of that state and should play a role in the United States of America. Some of what he believed is even still emblazoned on the walls of the Pennsylvania State House. Sam, I'd love for you to comment on that very quickly.
Just very quickly, there is in the governor's conference room, it's called the signing room, where the governors of the state of Pennsylvania have signed official legislation. In that room, it's very ornate. It's full of pictures. But the thing that's in that room are pictures that describe the life of William Penn from his youth to the time that he came into possession of and given the rights to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But what it describes, Dave, and what it shows in picture form with words that underneath of it, is when William Penn came into recognition of who Jesus Christ was through the reading of God's word, and there are pictures of it there with the word of God. He comes face to face with who Jesus Christ is from the word of God. He accepts him, and his family rejects him because of that. That's right there in the governor's room. Every governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania are signing legislation in the presence of that reminder that the Bible changes lives, and it's the Bible that undergirds the whole concept of freedom in this country. And unfortunately, Dave, they don't even look at that anymore, and they don't even know it's there. And I think God will hold it against them in that day when they stand before him. But it's there. It's emblazoned in pictures, and the word of God is written throughout the Capitol building of Pennsylvania, words from the Old Testament, verses from the New Testament. Literally, I can take you to the Senate of Pennsylvania, and they tell people, I can lead a person to Christ and take them to heaven through the chamber of the Senate in Pennsylvania because the plan of salvation, prophecy, are emblazoned on the walls permanently for every member to see it.
Sam, I have had the privilege of being on one of those tours that you took Dr. Gary Dahl and I on one time. I have never forgotten it. It left an indelible imprint on me. And what you are saying, I have seen with my very eyes. And friends, you ought to let Sam take you at some point on a tour of the Senate chamber there at the Capitol there in Pennsylvania. It's a powerful, powerful reminder of the role the Word of God played and how William Penn believed it should continue to play that critical role, not just in the state of Pennsylvania, but also in the United States of America. Gary, could you do this? Could you provide for our listeners a few additional examples of the role the Bible has played in our nation and why our founders' high view of it is not idolatry?
Well, first of all, let me say I appreciate what Sam said about the Capitol building here in Pennsylvania, where we are. I think that there's more Bible, more scripture in the Capitol building of Pennsylvania than there is in many churches in the nation today. It's all over the place. And if Sam takes you on a tour, he'll even take you up into the rotunda if you want. So it's a very high tour that Sam can give. I would also encourage people to get the William Penn's book entitled No Cross, No Crown, that he wrote back, 1682, I think, is when it was originally written. But he emphasized this among many other principles in that book. He says, if you deny the power of God's word, then you have only a form of godliness. He recognized the significance of God's word, and Dave, so did many of our other founders. John Quincy Adams, for instance, said, and I quote, the first and almost the only book deserving universal attention is the Bible. And you can take into consideration a lot of our founders. We were talking about law. You know, the law that we have in the United States Constitution, in a great way, is founded upon, yes, the Word of God, but also a lot of the teachings of William Blackstone, who played a leading role in forming the Christian foundation of this particular nation. The Declaration of Independence has a biblical foundation because it professes the faith in the Creator. And by doing so, it emphasizes that the idea that man is a fallen creature indicates that he cannot be his own lawgiver or judge. And so when you talk about our founding fathers, they believed the Bible, they believed in the Bible, they proclaimed the Bible. In fact, there have even been several times when the United States Congress established the distribution of the Bible, once in 1777 and 1781. And so our founders believed in the Word of God, and it was the Word of God that laid the foundation for the nation upon which we had. They did not worship the Bible, but they recognized the significance of the Bible in the lives of those who believe it.
Gary, perfect segue to what I want to ask Keith Davidson. Keith, you, along with our ministry, Hope Ministries International, Hope to the Hill, Faith and Action in the Nation's Capital, Center for Christian Statesmanship, and other ministries, but Seedline International is a part of an annual event in Washington, D.C. that makes the Bible central in our nation, just as it used to be and just as it should be again. Keith, talk for just a second. We have just a couple of minutes here before we have to go to the break. Okay. About what is called the National Bible Reading Marathon and about your involvement in that along with us.
Yes, sir. This will be our fifth year of being involved. We are able to read on the west side of the Capitol building facing the Washington Monument from Sunday afternoon till Thursday morning. From the beginning to the end, it takes 90 hours to read through the entire Word of God. It's continuous reading, and it is, without lack of words, just awesome, I suppose. There's such a blessing in doing that. And we're facing west across our nation, and our nation is founded on the Word of God. It's what operates our nation. It's going to be our save our nation and to get back to the Word of God. But when we stand there and read, there's such a blessing that comes over you just reading the Word of God facing west, and it's actually covering the nation. And so I had a person ask me, does it really matter that you're doing that? And I said, well, it matters to me and it matters to God. And so it's just a huge, huge blessing. And one of the police officers there told us that in Washington, D.C., while that Bible reading is going on, that the crime rate is really low during that week. And so it's a great opportunity just to see the power of God being read and on the expression of folks' faces. You see tears, you see humbleness of heart. It's just an awesome experience.
Well, friends, what Keith Davidson just shared is exactly true. I've heard that same statement come from the lips of those Capitol Hill police officers. The crime rate in D.C. drops dramatically the week that the Word of God is read during the Bible Reading Marathon. And that's always the first week of May. We're going to be talking to you more about that as we get closer to May for the 2018 Bible Reading Marathon. But, friends, it is something that is absolutely amazing. When we come back in our solutions segment, we're going to tie all this together, the role of one solitary book and its impact upon our nation cannot be overstated. It's profound and it's powerful, and it should continue.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. Friends, that statement came from the lips of our sixth president, John Quincy Adams. I want you to listen to this statement as well, and I quote, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. In this sense and to this extent, our civilizations and our institutions are emphatically Christian," end quote. And by the way, that statement came from an 1883 decision from the Illinois Supreme Court. And while that was not a statement from the United States Supreme Court, it is extremely consistent with the Christian Nation decision, as it is sometimes called, in a case before the United States Supreme Court in 1892 called Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, where a statement was made to the effect that the United States is indeed a Christian nation. Gentlemen, I want to ask you all three one question in this concluding segment. We call it our solution segment. With these clarion statements equating the Christian faith with the founding and life of our nation, obviously reflecting biblical sentiment, it would appear to me to be overtly obvious that the Bible is the singularly greatest influence on our Constitution and laws. So what can individual believers, what can more specifically pastors do to bolster not only the Bible's importance, but to convey its undeniable impact on our nation? Sam, I'll go to you first and let you answer that question.
Well, Dave, what the pulpits can do and should do are two things. One, they must preach what the Bible says. That's what Pastors Network is about, is to say, preach the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. Apply a biblical worldview to the issues of life. So practical teaching of God's Word. If we really believe that God gave us the Bible, now those folks who think you can hold the Bible in too high esteem, I'm really wondering if they have a right view of God. I don't think they can. But if one has a right view of God, then we go to the Bible because that's what he's given us. We use it, we apply it, we live it, we think it, we memorize it, and we preach it, teach it in every regard. That's number one. Number two, we have to also, pulpits have to, and parents and others also have to understand that the historical connection to this nation, to the nation of Israel, the connection to the Word of God in these nations that are so close in many ways, that historical fact is something that cannot be forgotten. And this third, understand that those who hate God are trying their best, and they have for a generation or more, to separate Christians from the Bible and God from government, and there's no better way than to say that God had no role and the Bible had no place.
Gary, let me go to you. What can individual believers do? What, more specifically, can pastors, and you are a pastor, what can pastors do to bolster the Bible's importance and convey the fact that it has had an undeniable impact on our nation?
Well, first of all, I look at two passages of Scripture. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word," this is God speaking, "be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." When we look back in our history in the United States of America, we can see the Declaration of Independence. You can go back as far as the Mayflower Compact and other documents, including our Constitution. There's a very, very strong biblical basis there, and God's word is that which I believe was used to bring this nation into existence in the form of government that we have and so forth. Then over in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe it." So using those two passages of Scripture, those of us who are pastors, those of us who are Bible-believing Christians must do three things, four things actually. We must get to know the word of God, we must live the word of God, we must teach the word of God, and we must distribute the word of God, and then watch how God will use that for his glory in individual lives, in churches, and in nations.
Outstanding, gentlemen. Keith, I'm going to go to you and pose the same question. Probably don't even need to do that because you're involved in a ministry that handles the word of God every day, distributes it around the world. And my friend, I have to tell you this. I was beyond moved to walk into a pulpit every night last week made up of stacks of the scriptures, the text of the scripture that had not yet had a binding put on it. You do that every year. You create and make a pulpit out of actually the word of God itself. So when I opened my Bible, it was lying on top of the word of God. And then to notice around me on those elevated shelves, the pallet after pallet after pallet, thousands, hundreds of thousands of copies of the scripture ready to be shipped out around the world. That was a beyond moving thing. Keith, what can individual believers and, more importantly, pastors do to convey the undeniable impact of God's word on the United States of America?
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate Brother Gary mentioning Isaiah 55:11. I think that should be our battle cry. God, you know, makes some unconditional promises there that if we promote and proclaim his word, it'll not return void. And that's one of my motivations, so I appreciate him sharing that verse. But I think one of the primary things as believers or pastors, we need to present the power of the Word of God. Folks sometimes just look at it as a book. It's a powerful book. It's alive and well. So then the second thing is we need to practice the power of the Word of God. If they don't see a change in our lives, they're not going to be interested in the Word of God. They've got to see that in those who are proclaiming it. If we're going to proclaim that truth, we have to practice that truth as well. And then thirdly, I think we need to preserve the power of the Word of God. We need to be sharing that and giving folks information about that, giving them direction, giving them options. The world has all kinds of things that they can provide, but we need to preserve the power of the Bible, the life-changing things that it can do. So I think these three need to be done in personal practice. We as individuals have to start there and get that done so we can present that to folks around us. The church has to practice that. The church is lacking in doing these three things. And then civil government has to do that. And we're seeing a lot of that turn, and hopefully we're going to see more. But until we are able to do those things, to present it, practice it, and then preserve it, we're not going to see it be very effective. So I think those are the things we need to focus on to get that out.
Keith, I appreciate that so much. And you ended with the arena of civil government. So I'm going to go to Sam, who served for 18 years in the Pennsylvania legislature before becoming president of the American Pastors Network, the entity that sponsors this program. Sam, take us to the throne of grace that what Gary and Keith have stated would take place. The Word of God would be promoted, preserved, and powerfully, powerfully impact the United States in the days ahead.
Absolutely, Dave. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for being in a country that has had the Word of God as its foundation, has it as its history, and how you have blessed this nation and our people because they have followed your Word. We pray that we would return again to your Word in humility and repentance this day, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Keith Davidson, for being our guest. It's a delight, as always, to have you on. And friends, I want to encourage you, over this weekend, don't just stand up for the truth. Heed Keith's admonition, live the truth and live it powerfully. Only then will people understand, as they see God and his power lived out in your life, that they need him as much as you need him as well. So have a great weekend. See you on Monday.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.